Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Sincerest, there's no one but you, and here in my heart, you're my dearest too. Hey, it's Brian Beebe once again. This is my 1 year anniversary of doing these podcasts here down in Madison in the Keller Building, 433 West Washington. Don't come down here, though. Don't come down just because I gave the address. But do call. I'm giving you the phone number, 608-210-1667. We're here because monks at Monk's Bar and Grill all over Wisconsin kind of thinks it's a good thing that I'm here. And so does Sorrento's at the Wilderness, a great Italian restaurant right on Highway 12 in the heart of Wisconsin Dells, the Strip, as they call it. Used to be downtown Dells was everything in the Dells.
The happenings.
You used to go down there and you'd walk up and down or cruise up and down and just look in the shops and drink beer and eat fudge. But now everything's out on the Strip, all the new hotels with the water parks inside, and everything is out on the Highway 12 between downtown and the interstate. And we're out there in the middle of that. So I play there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights at 7 p.m. And you can come right and eat right at the bar and listen to some music and have a few drinks and request some songs and still be home at a decent hour. So there's no excuse. Come on out and see me at Sorrento's. And try a burger some afternoon right here in Middleton, at Sun Prairie, at Monk's Bar and Grill, at Verona, and two of them in the Dells and one in Eau Claire. Today I'm going to talk about a number of things, as usual, and hope that you'll call in and comment or have a question. I'm thinking I might have a guest later in the show, but I don't want to announce it because sometimes you think you have a guest later in the show and then they don't show or they don't call.
You never know.
So, yeah, so I don't want to promise that. But anyway, couple of things. We're going to talk about, I'm going to play some Tom Waits music today. If you don't know who Tom Waits is, he's written a lot of songs for other people. He's played some bit parts in some movies. He's a real interesting guy. And it's just like Waits for a Bus. Tom Waits. And he's written songs for the Eagles and for Bruce Springsteen and other artists. Who was the one you mentioned, Mike?
Allison Krauss.
Allison Krauss.
Yeah, Robert Plant. Did
Robert
cover.
Plant, yeah. Mike Brockenfeldt in the control room today, taking your calls, twisting the knobs.
Yes.
Twisting your knobs or whatever it is. He's a knob twister and a button pusher and a slider.
I do like my buttons.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you do like your buttons. And he has his own studio over in Oshkosh?
Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac. Yeah, and he records, he'll take your vinyl albums and put them on digital if he ever gets them with his mother's collection. And he'll record your band. You can go and do anything you want. He'll do it. Audio, mrbaudio.com. Com. Yep. Yeah. What was that one that... Nature Boy. No, not Nature Boy. What was the... There's a .com that tried to sell itself as an alternate to .com. What was it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's .com. Mike's got a real website. It's .com. Anyway, today, a couple of things have crossed my mind. that I wanted to throw out there and hope you'll call in and comment about. Do you think, now, President, I'm not a political guy, but President Trump is down in the Southeast Asia now, visiting China and South Korea. And oddly enough, there's a meeting scheduled in Vietnam between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. Surprise? Are you surprised? Why would, of course, he could, that's the one that's been announced. Who knows? I mean, he could actually fly to Moscow in an afternoon and meet up there or talk on the phone. It doesn't matter. But they've announced this meeting between Vladimir Putin and President Trump in Vietnam on this trip. Now, I'm not a historian. I like history, and I like to look back at certain things. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that most of the time, if our president declares war during his presidency, he gets reelected. I mean, how often have we let a president declare war, the war's still going on, and we dump him midstream and get a new president?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Never.
Yeah,
yeah. Never happens. So do you think that President Trump might just call attention away from the Russian investigation and start a ground war in North Korea and then... ensure that he gets reelected again.
That wasn't a woo of excitement, by the way.
No, I know.
That was a.
If I'll tell you this, if you notice anything that looks like Americans evacuating South Korea to these huge ships that have been waiting in the harbor for this thing to happen. Then you can worry about this stuff. But I can't imagine kind of any kind of, if we nuke North Korea, everybody pays for that.
Right.
Huge nuclear clouds, nuclear winter would be all over the world if we did that. And on the ground war end of it, first of all, I looked it up. We have spent in 15 years in Afghanistan, 15 years in that war,
yeah,
$1.2 trillion. And I think that means about, you know, $500 billion a year, right? Can we afford another war anymore? I mean, we couldn't afford the Iraq war. We still have, that's still on the credit card, right? Haven't paid for it yet. And still paying for Afghanistan. So we can't pay for a ground war. And if we did just run in there and hopefully take over these nuclear sites so they can't fire nuclear weapons, all the conventional weapons that are already aimed at South Korea, 20 million people there, they'd be launched
right
instantly, wouldn't they? I mean,
no question. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know much about war or politics, but none of that sounds good to me. The one thing that, in a really dark sense, most of North Korea's population who are not members of the
regime
yeah, family, or generals, they're all every member of Kim Jong-un's military is a general with 400 gold things on the front of his coat.
Sure,
have you seen them?
Sure. Yeah.
We have like 10 or 11 generals, or maybe 50 or 100 generals in our whole system, right? He's got thousands of generals. They're all generals. But
we could just attack them with giant magnets then.
Collect them all up. Yeah. But I was going to finish, just to finish that thought, the ones who aren't in Kim Jong-un's family or a general are basically all in prison camps. Did you know that? I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people in each of several enormous state-sized fenced-in areas where they've somebody's dissented against the government or they've committed some crime, and they just throw them in a pen and leave them. They don't feed them. They don't do anything. Hundreds of thousands. So maybe if we went in there and there was a war, and all those people, I don't know. I was going to say maybe the best thing that could happen to them is to just be
for them, to be liberated.
But what would you do with them? You don't liberate people from a death camp without a place to put them.
Yeah.
And if there's that many, I don't know, what's the best answer to that? Anyway, you can call in 210-1667. Please help us with that one. I'm going to tell some stupid jokes and hope that they're not ones that I've told before sometime today. On another completely unrelated note, can we talk a little bit about how education in, let's say, K through 12 education is being affected by the internet and texting? Because no kid on the internet, on the texting, knows anything or cares anything about punctuation or spelling. Am I right, Mike?
That is true.
And they don't even leave spaces between the words. They don't go back and correct anything that's misspelled.
They're not even whole words anymore.
No. They've abbreviated everything down to just a few. I don't know. Is
Gaslightblick.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
See you later.
What are some of those? What are some of those? You can help us out.
I'm bad at it.
What are some of those words that have been made up for texting and for messaging on social media, like IDK? SWAK was always one on the back of a letter when we were kids, when writing letters, love letters, sealed with a kiss. That was swack. LMAO, LMFAO.
Can add the F in any of them.
ID. FK. But I have a friend who's a teacher, and she says she has a heck of a time with grade school kids, age kids, teaching them about punctuation and spelling and capitalization, the basic stuff we all learned when we were going to school, is out the window now.
Yep.
And is it... is it taking us a place we want to go? I mean, it could be. I don't know. Lots of things that have changed in recent years, in my lifetime, people are all of their time, you know, and it's always old people that are saying, "Oh, this is not good," you know. But maybe it is good. People don't necessarily have to think in terms of punctuation to be productive members of society and maybe invent a cure for cancer someday. We don't know. You know, things are changing at a hugely fast rate, and very, very soon. What is the name of that? They're talking about this actual time when robots are smarter than men and to just take over everything.
Yeah.
And the robots don't care about spelling or. I suppose they have to be programmed just right, but that's not one of the things they're taught, you know, punctuation. And so, I don't know. But there's a song by Dan Barrett I'm going to play for you. It goes, back when I was going to school, it's all about punctuation. I never learned a thing. All I did was daydream, waiting for the bell to ring. I had a certain teacher, always tried to impress her. When she stood up in the classroom, I would mentally undress her. I finally decided said the spelling was a masterpiece, but the punctuation could be better. I understood what she was saying. I got the gist of her sentiment. She said, I don't mean to be degrading, but here's the way that it should have went. I love you, period. And do you love me, question mark? Please, please, exclamation point. I want to hold you in parentheses. I love you, period. And do you love me, question mark? Please, please, exclamation point. I want to hold you in parentheses. Punctuation that was never late, but I was having trouble meeting girls. I never knew just what to say till I had them all overwhelmed and then learned to talk this way. I love you, period. And do you love me, question mark? Please, please, exclamation point. Parentheses. I love you, period. And do you love me, question mark? Please, please, exclamation point. I wanna hold you in parentheses. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right. I love you, period. Got a phone call. Who's on the phone?
Ed.
Hey, Ed. What's
hey,
up, man?
Bro.
Did you hear me play my punctuation song, man?
I love that song. Is that a BB original?
No, that's Dan Baird, who was in the Georgia Satellites.
Yeah.
As a solo artist, he did that song. That's a cool one. For teachers everywhere who are struggling with these kids. Now, for those of you who don't know, Ed Legg, I'm talking to a writer, a guy who very skilled at punctuation. He writes for the newspaper, Capital Newspapers, and you can't do that without knowing something about punctuation and capitalization and spelling.
That is true.
Tell us how you do it, man. Huh? Do you have to look up a lot of words when you're talking about when you're writing? Do you want to use a word but you're not sure how to spell it and you look it up somewhere? How do you do it?
Well, and since about the mid '90s, we got this spell check thing that just automatically underlines a word that if it isn't spelled right, it doesn't correct it automatically. At least mine, I don't have.
No,
to spell up to do
I
that.
Don't either. I know what you mean, though. I have that too.
But it's so then I wrote one yesterday and our email does it too. And I was writing an email and I tried to use the word. Now, you tell me how you pronounce it. I would pronounce it imprimatur, but then I've heard it pronounced imprimatur.
I don't know that word at all, Ed, to tell you the
truth.
It's kind of like
it's under, like it's an endorsement almost. An imprimatur is like, This is done under the school board's imprimatur, i.e. it was done with the school board's blessing, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and it's got a weird spelling. Kind of like non sequitur has a weird spelling. I don't know what it is about.
Non sequitur, yeah. You know,
non sequitur.
I'm going to make a suggestion. You can do what you want with it, Ed.
Yes, sir.
If you're using words in the newspaper that I don't know, the words are over the head of the people that you're writing for. Because I know something about words. I have a pretty large, and you know the people that are reading the paper don't want to see imprimatur. They're going to have to go look it up if they do.
Well, there you go. And see, I used it in an email to the school board.
Oh. Well,
thinking they would know it, but I kind of thought once I saw it in print, I thought, No, that's probably not it. I mean, sometimes I will throw a word in there, and actually a couple of people really get a kick out of it because I'll throw a word in there that they've never heard of before.
Well, you know what? I kind of like the idea of you shooting those big, heavy words to the school board because then... First of all, yeah. You're putting them in their place a little bit, and second of all, you're building their respect for you, and maybe you'll get interviews in the future that you wouldn't have gotten if you didn't write imprimatur. Do you know what I mean?
There you go.
You might get an interview with somebody because you used imprimatur.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Probably a schooled or learned person, too, I hope.
Yeah, or something. Or, you know, but here's something to look out for.
Yes, sir.
If you send that off to somebody in an email of some kind and they come back with words, like 3-4 words that you don't know, then you're in trouble. Then you're on the defensive.
Good.
So it could end up being sort of a war of the big, long words, you know?
You know what it reminds me of, Brian?
What?
You know the Sex Pistols are the band with Johnny Rotten from the 60s,
yeah, Sex Pistols,
right?
The Sex Pistols, yeah.
Malcolm McLaren was there, Brian Epstein.
Yes.
And his wife was a woman named Vivian Westwood who had gone on to become a couture fashion designer.
Uh huh.
And she's pretty wacky. Malcolm McLaren actually died a few years ago, and he was pretty wacky. But this dude wrote a book about Vivian Westwood, and it was one page that had like 4 words that I had never seen, heard.
One page.
And I got to go back and find it now because about a year later, I had this buddy who was a big vocabulary guy, and I said, you got to hear the words in this. And it blew his mind, too. It was all in one page, though. It was like an analysis of the punk rock era.
Yeah. Wow.
So, which is kind of ironic, considering that punk rock was about elementary.
Yes.
The elementary approach.
Right.
You know?
For every word in every song was one syllable and.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I watch Jeopardy a lot, and
yes.
Have you ever listened to it? A show on NPR called Away With Words, Ed?
I think I have.
Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. they have a word, a show with two people, Martha Barnett and the other guy, and they talk about colloquialisms and odd words that people have used. Their family, maybe their uncle, great uncle, used to say this phrase, and they want to know where it comes from. And you know, they research it on that show, and you know, report back on. And it's the most interesting thing if you're interested in words. It's called Away With Words, or online if you want to, in our Twitter.
That is interesting.
Yeah. But,
that's the great thing about the internet too, is you can look it up right away.
Yeah. These days. Yeah.
I tell you though, non sequitur is the hardest word I've ever tried to look up for some reason, and I still probably I still don't know how to spell it, and I probably still would. I've tried. It's just one of those strange words. It's
well,
I
know
we're really getting into it here, brother.
I know that it's. I know that it's two words. Did you know that? It's not a one word. Non.
Dash in between?
Yeah, there's
a space.
Does it have
a dash in between? Maybe that was the
problem. There's no dash. It's non.
Oh, okay.
Non. It's two words. Non and sequitur.
Okay.
But anyway, so tell me what you've been writing about that you're excited about. Anything, man? Are you still working on that book about the Stones? Or what are you doing?
Yes, I'm starting to work on that in earnest. I actually sent a proposal for it, so I'd never heard anything. But I'm just who knows if I sent it to the right place.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. Here's an exciting tidbit. You know how they're doing a bunch of building over at the Kalahari Resort?
Yes.
They're going to build they're going to double the size of their convention center, and they're moving all these hills. They basically have these gigantic.
Right.
These gigantic bulldozers that are literally moving hills.
Yeah, right.
And Lake Delton has bought the dirt from them, and they're going to use it to fill in a ravine in Lake Delton. What do you think of that?
We're going to use it to fill in which ravine?
It is. It's got a name, and I'm trying to remember. It's near a street, and it's the ravine near the Viking liquor store in Lake Delton. It's back there.
Okay. Well, I kind of like that idea because nobody uses that ravine anyway.
Yes,
I know.
And there's a sewer pipe going through that ravine, apparently. There's already a sanitary sewer going through there.
Yeah, so...
So they're going to fill it in. DNR okay to fill this ravine in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be happening any day. The dirt will be... coming through Lake Delta.
That's interesting, but here's the thing. That ravine, I'm thinking in my mind of the hills that you're talking about, back there where the elephant family is, you know, between County A and the Kalahari. But those, that's going to be a lot more dirt than that ravine will hold, man.
I can't remember what they're going to do with the rest. Oh, I know what they're going to do. They're going to transported across the road. I'm not sure what happens then.
They're going to make new hills across the road on somebody else's property. I like
maybe
that.
So. Now, if those hills always been there, you would know that because of your longevity in town. Have those hills been up there all the time, or did they build those hills?
Yeah, but maybe when they scooped out all the stuff they scooped out for the Kalahari, they made those hills.
Yes. Huh?
Maybe.
That's what I always thought.
They have always owned that property. It's not like they bought it recently. So
okay.
they might have put it on their own property, and then now they're going to sell it to the Lake Delton to fill in the ravine? Or
yes,
what is
price.
It? Boy, that you get a lot of interesting stories like that, man. You're always first
true.
On the scene for that stuff. Ed Legge, L-E-G-G-E. Man, I was proud of you a week or so ago. You got both stories on the front page of the Dell's paper there with your byline.
Thank you, sir.
That happens a lot to you, I'm sure. But, God, what are they going to do without you if you quit?
I am staying. I am here for the duration, my brother. I am here. I am just doing what I've been put on earth to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, man. But you know, I know you get frustrated sometimes.
Well, I'm going to just keep soldiering on until the book beckons, it just becomes such a demand that I have to just spend all my time on it. So.
Hey, Ed, you know, I was over at the library yesterday.
Yes.
I was going to get an audio book. And the library was closed for inventory, but they are
giving—they're
giving away a ton of books out in the lobby. There, you can just help yourself to them. And I went through and I picked up Writer's Market. Do you know what that book is? Where you—it's a how to sell your written stuff and who to sell it to,
really?
And where to send it. Yeah. And I picked up the first one. It was 1983. They have an annual book. And then I found 85, so I put 83 back and took 85. And I looked a little further,
that
and I
was
found
smart.
88. And I put 85 back and took 88. And finally, I want the newest stuff.
Sure.
So I ended up walking out of there with 1989 version of Writer's Market. And it's not that it needs to be that current. I'll tell you, I did quite well with Songwriter's Market, written by the same people, Alliant Press or something in Cincinnati. And you should go over there and get one of those and just look at it, just skim it, because first of all, it has listings of dozens of places that would still be in business that are interested in your manuscript, right? But it also has articles by guys who have been successful selling their stuff, and what you have to do, and how to package it,
great. That's a great tip. I will look at that.
Yeah,
that's a good thing to know.
Yeah, and I've written a few short stories, and not that I'm trying to sell them, but I'd be interested in learning how to write better and, and present them for publication in a more effective way. You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping to get out of this book I just got.
Good for you. What kind of, have you written fiction or nonfiction short stories?
No, they're nonfiction. I don't know how to write fiction.
I don't either.
I mean, I can't, I'd like to try taking one of the stories I've written and changing the names, or a story that I haven't written yet, and just write it with fake names and see if it comes out like fiction. I don't know how to do it because I'm, you know, that's a different animal. Have you tried it?
You know, not really. I took a creative writing class, one of my last college classes, and that I did nonfiction too. The stories I picked out were nonfiction, and I had the same feeling you did. I think it just is, it's kind of a different pace, and I have thought about some of the tales that I'd like to tell from my childhood. I almost feel like I'm compelled to change the names because some of those people are...
Yeah, I wrote some stories about my childhood and didn't change the names, and I haven't really heard anything bad from people. Ed, can you...
Well, we lived through such a tumultuous time. Sorry to use one of them college words, tumultuous.
Yeah, that's a good word.
But we did. Yeah. I mean, we lived through the drug culture, we lived through...
Hello? Yeah, hey Ed, I want you to hang on, we're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back. Okay.
All right, sir.
Brian Beebe Show on MadisonTalks.com, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. We'll be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Ooh, yeah. Got what I paid for now. See you tomorrow. Hey, Frank, can I borrow a couple of bucks from you to go waltzing Matilda? Hey, Ed, are you still there? Ed? Oh, maybe you got cut off. How about Stevie Ray? Is Stevie Ray there?
Stevie Ray's here.
Stevie Ray's there and Ed? Hey, how are we doing? You are two of my absolute favorite callers. Stevie Ray, just so you know, we've been talking about kind of the modern day grammar and punctuation and spelling that kids are being exposed to on texts and on social media, and what is it doing to education?
It's the shortcuts that we're learning from, especially Twitter. That I believe that's where it started because of the 140 characters. I think that's where the shortcuts came from. For instance, H and the number 8.
H.
Hate.
Hate, yeah. H.
Okay, so anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff, yeah.
And then, you know, the first thing, because I hate to call it tricky, but I'm a Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be set in the 21st, 22nd, 23rd centuries.
Yeah, Star Trek, right.
And they... the speech that they use and grammar and whatever sometimes harken back to medieval times.
Yeah.
With the V's and thous and,
yeah,
and things like that. And trying to trying to figure out what we're going to be talking like then, pretty difficult to say now on this interesting point. One of the latest episodes of Star Trek Discovery. That's the new show that's on. Okay, supposed to be in the 23rd century. And then they drop the F-bomb on this show.
No, they do?
CBS All Access. Yeah. Why would they think we'd be using a 200 or 300 or more year-old term then and have the same impact it does now?
It's totally for modern audiences. It's only
that,
only
I know what they're writing
there.
For. They're pandering to the modern audience, correct? Yeah. Yes, yeah. But I find it amusing that, oh, they dropped the F-bomb because it's an online service, the CBS thing, to watch the show.
Yeah.
Okay, so they did it to do it, but it's like, so, why would they even say it? You know,
so
what's the point?
Ed, I have seen recently where they're talking about increasing Twitter to 250 characters, right?
And there have been a few. I think you're on Twitter as well. I've seen a couple of entries where I'm so excited. Twitter has gone to 280, and then 200 exclamation points.
Yeah.
In other words, we don't need it.
No.
Yeah. we So what am I going to do with my 280? Exclamation point.
Yeah.
I laughed about it. That was LOL.
Yeah, LOL.
There's another one, yeah.
Yeah.
So the shortcuts have come.
Yeah, and are they here to stay? Are there going to be more shortcuts in the near future?
Well, when you think about...
Maybe Steve, you can't hear Ed. He keeps cutting Ed off.
Oh.
Can you hear him? No, but it's a couple times that I've heard Ed start saying something, and Stevie, can you hear him? Can you hear Ed, Stevie?
I can't, no.
He can't. I can hear Stevie, too. Michael fix it. I've got Ed in only one ear, and I've got Stevie in both. That's just the way it is. Huh? No. Yeah, but that's okay. Mono is cool, Ed. Yeah, yeah. But you sent me the coolest piece of live Beatles stuff that I've heard in a long time, man. I did. And it's much clearer. Remember the Star Germany recordings? They made a couple of records of the Beatles in Germany in a place, and the stuff you sent me was much clearer, and it was video. Yeah. 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 What? Are you there, Stevie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Can you hear Ed now?
No, I can't.
You can't hear Ed.
To get
so
more
I'll
from the Facebook feed, and I'm getting a delay there.
Well, we're talking about. We moved on from the punctuation problems to some live video that Ed sent me, and I shared it. You must have seen it, of the Beatles down in Georgia. And on the 65 tour, that was just the clearest pictures and clearest sound that I've ever seen or heard in a live Beatles recording. Did you get to see that when I sent it, Stevie?
I haven't. I'm in the midst of rehearsals for our Christmas show right now. So
yeah, well,
I will see it. If you can send me a link, or maybe we can get something down the road. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, Stevie Ray plays in a fabulous band, country band called Heartland Country, Maggie May and Heartland Country, and they play on TV and they play all over the Midwest. Are you playing at Crystal Grand again this year?
We will be doing a show at Crystal Grand in a few weeks.
That always
That'll
sells
be
out.
It has been our last Christmas show. Our first one's coming up this Saturday in New Holstein, which is other side of the lake from Fond du Lac.
New Holstein?
Yeah, New Holstein.
Is that a Wisconsin town?
It's toward Michicot, kind of in that area, Sheboygan, north of there.
You don't happen to know the name of the high school football team from New Holstein, do you, Stevie?
Oh, no. No, I can only.
The Fighting Holsteins, or what are they called? I mean, I wonder. I don't mean to cast aspersions, but it's tough. Did you know, Ed certainly knows this, that Reedsburg, Wisconsin, which is right next to the Dells, their high school football team and basketball team, they're called the Beavers. The Reedsburg Beavers. Do you find that disturbing at all? How about you, Mike? Is that disturbing to you? The Reedsburg Beavers?
That's strange.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I mean, it might have been okay, you know, 25, 30, 40 years ago, but it needs a look now. I mean, what is it, Ed?
Huskies.
What do you mean, the Holstein Huskies? New Holstein Huskies? My high school was the Huskies.
We were the Fighting Huskies.
Harlem Huskies, but we never won a game ever, not in any sport. Yep, Harlem Huskies. I was on the wrestling team. I lost about every match. I was what they call a fish. I'd go right to my back rather than be engaged at all, you know. 2,000 people watching, and you just go walk out there, and the guy hasn't even touched you yet, and you fall on your back, and yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, well, I just didn't want the confrontation, you know, one on one with another guy in front of 2,000 people. That just didn't work for me. But I just told myself that I was going to make it through the end of the year. That's all I was going to make it to the end of the year. Did you play high school sports, Stevie?
No, I was pretty much involved, but I didn't have time for it, really. I'd already started my first band when I was 14, 15, something like that.
Smoking cigarettes and smoking a lot of pot, you know, I know.
Who was?
You.
Me? Oh, yeah. Good grief, no.
Yeah, see...
My dad was a deputy sheriff.
Yeah,
that was happening.
The preacher's kid and the sheriff's kid, those are the wildest kids in town.
Yeah, maybe they were. That was pretty boring. You can ask a lot of people. Well, Mauston isn't that far away from you. Yeah, you can ask. There's a few of my... matter of fact, you know some people I went to high school with, so you could probably... They'll attest to it.
Yeah, that you were boring.
Oh, that was pretty boring.
Yeah. All right, I will ask. And what about you, Ed? Did you play high school sports? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, and when you are hanging around with band kids, you're hanging around with the better quality kids and the better families in high school, aren't you? I mean, they're not.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, I can hear you.
Hey, very good.
Anybody else? We raised a little. Yeah.
I remember, I'm going to be honest with you, I graduated in class of, I didn't know any kids who were smoking, and I mean, smoking cigarettes maybe, but nobody was drinking beer or smoking pot. Then the next class came along, the very next year, and those kids were stoned right in class and having sit-ins in the lobby of the high school, and it was just completely came unglued after I got through high school.
He'll only confirm that he did graduate.
Yeah.
In or about 19 something.
Yes, in or about 19 something.
Circa
19 something. Yeah. But, you know, and you guys are younger. You guys are both younger than I. And so your classmates were all the wildest wild asses around, and everything was green lighted when you guys were in school.
You're absolutely right, buddy.
Yeah. And maybe it made the music better. How was it? Was that marching band any better or worse if they were all stoned?
You know, some of them were.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, there was one kid who went and got his driver's license stoned to prove that he could, which in his mind meant that he could drive stoned.
So he told the driver's license people that he got there and he got there stoned, and so that he should be able to...
No, he didn't announce it, but it was like going to their foot. Well, I was stoned when I got my license. One of his buddies sat there in her room one time and said, you know, if you died where you're stoned, does that mean you'd be stoned forever?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, so now he has to be stoned every time he drives, right? Because that's the one he drives the best.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there was something.
The new norm.
That was something to be said for that when we were kids, because you did pay attention a little bit more if you were alone and stoned and driving, because you were paranoid, you know.
Except you're paying attention to the rearview mirror.
Yeah, but if you're with other people and you're all stoned, you weren't paying attention at all. You were paying attention to the bag of Bugles on the seat next to you. Remember Bugles?
Absolutely.
I can remember Bugles being the preferred treat of the stonedness. Yeah, they were pretty good, and they're
cheap.
I
wouldn't know.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yeah. Played drums in rock bands and never got high. No, I understand. You can't because of your employment now, you can't admit to those kind of things.
I was a straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Anybody in the band that showed any sign of doing that, I would call the police on them right away.
I believe you, Ed. He called the cops on his bandmates if they were stoned. Were you ever in a band with Mike Brockovell? He wouldn't even step outside if you called the cops on him. He's down with that. He's down with the cause. Stevie and I remember back in the early 90s, we were the first people in our area of Wisconsin to get behind a drive to legalize marijuana. But we failed because nobody could remember where the petitions were held. Nobody nobody knew when the meetings were.
I was waiting for the punchline on that one. I'm like, what?
Nobody could remember where the meetings were, what time they were.
There you go. Let's perpetuate the stereotype.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, it's going to get...
Well, it's like in Colorado. You know, if you were a musician in the ski resorts of Colorado, and you had a cold, no one believed you.
Had a cold?
Yeah, if you sniffled, no one believed that you had any kind of sinus problems or hay fever. No, sure you do.
So what do you guys, Ed and Stevie, what do you know about the Wisconsin's moves towards legalizing marijuana? Think it'll happen?
It's going to have to.
Both
of them. Talked about it. They are not interested.
Who?
The cops.
The cops are not interested. No.
Yes.
But do you think that it'll happen? Despite what they want.
Well, there you go.
It's a taxation issue as much as anything else, isn't it?
There's a lot of money in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Even though, when the non-smoking ban, the smoking ban came into the bars, I don't smoke cigarettes.
No.
Because, well.
Never did.
I sing badly enough as it is,
mm-hmm.
let alone with smoking.
Yep.
But I was against the ban because I felt that for the taverns, it would hurt them.
Yeah, and it did.
So it did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A lot of taverns.
And as far as you know, smoking, you do what you want to do, and there's I heard about the hemp, how you can make different stuff out of it. Well, and the tax. Levies they could put on it, regulate it. Go ahead.
Well, yes, and
not paying for me, but go ahead.
I'm going to let you both go on that note. But here's what here's what I've always said, and if you guys and I have talked about this in the future, I'm sure you've heard me say that if they did legalize it in Wisconsin and graded it and taxed it, and you could go to Quick Trip and buy number one strength, number two, number three, number four, number five, and know exactly how high you would get, I would buy it and I would smoke it. Because my objection to pot was always the fact that you could smoke one or two tokes of one kind of pot and just be flying for hours and smoke a whole joint of something else and not get off at all. You know, so, I mean, if they graded it and you knew how, it's just like a beer or a drink, and you knew how high you would get, I would buy it. Because I liked the feeling when it was fun and when it was right, you know. I just didn't like when you were out of control, you know. And so I hope that they do. So, hey, you guys, I gotta sing this song for Maureen. I promised her 2 weeks in a row, and I haven't played it, so I have to let you go. We're gonna go down the road here, and thanks for calling in, Stevie Ray. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot. Gotta run.
Ed Legg, check him out at Capital Newspapers. Every week, he's got the above the fold, as they say in the newspaper business, byline, and interesting stuff. He always gets the interesting stories. Hey Ed, before you go,
yeah.
Are you glad about the big country festival being voted down over there that they were going to do next summer in Lake Dalton?
I would have been curious about what that was going to mean.
Yeah, and that wasn't the same weekend, was it? No, my God, Automotion is out of control. Yeah. Well, I thought the whole proposal was weird because, first of all, there's other places they could have it that already have facilities and roads and parking and bathrooms and, you know. Why would they take raw land and try to make it into something? I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, I got to go, you guys. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found what happened to my Tom Waits. But who could make me be true? Could even make me be blue? And even be glad just to be sad thinking of you? Some others I've seen might never be me, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do for nobody else. Gave me a thrill with all your thoughts. I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. Hey, I was gonna do some Tom Waits music. I'll have to do it next week, but this is a song about a piano player. Maybe he's had too many J&Bs and too many lucky strikes, and he's cemented to the piano stool, and he can't seem to stop playing. Everybody's gone home, and he starts making stuff up as he goes. The piano has been drinking. My necktie is asleep. And the combo went back to New York, and the jukebox has to take a leak, and the carpet needs a haircut, and the telephone's out of cigarettes. Light man's blind in one eye and he can't see out of the other, and the piano tuner's got a hearing aid. and he showed up with his mother, 'cause the piano has been drinking. The piano has been drinking. The piano has been drinking. Not me. Not me. Not me.
Thank you.